they'd run over the guy, but what would you do? Swerve to miss him. So this guy did that. He swerved to miss him. And in doing so, the short wheelbase of the Renault Dauphine caused the car to roll, and it rolled 134 feet. But as he told the story, he said, I went 143 feet. He said, I woke up, I was half on the concrete, half on the shoulder, and I could see the car upside down. I saw a little red light, a little green light, and then I passed out. When I came to, the first thing he said was, W-H-Y. Why? Why did this have to happen to me? Any of you ever asked that question, why? We're going to bow and pray. If you never asked the question, Pastor, lead pastor, they can leave. Okay. Lord Jesus, I pray in your name that as we look at the scripture, as we contemplate this serious, complicated issue of why there is the suffering of the righteous, that you would open our hearts and minds to the truth that you have in Jesus' name. Amen. The lead pastor Duncan has told you so often about the Word of God, how it is God's Word and how we should turn to it and follow it. But I think there are times when we come to this introduction. Would you read with me? We have all been down Why Street, Why Cul-de-Sac, Why Boulevard, Why Alley, and Why Dead End. I've learned when I come to such streets to rename it Why Not Street. The most uttered word in every illness, catastrophe, setback, and disappointment, heartache, accident, etc., etc., is why. And of all the problems in the Bible and in our life, the suffering of the righteous is the most severe. Like, if God takes care of his own, why do they suffer without apparent reason? Well, we've all asked that question, haven't we? James, the brother of Jesus, put it like this. He says, and this is one of those verses I do not like, because it says, consider it pure joy, my brethren, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature. And then he continues down in chapter 1 to say this, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil. God cannot be tempted by evil, and he does not tempt anyone. There's a verse in the first book of the Bible, which is what? And there are many verses. Does anybody happen to know how many verses there are in the book of Genesis? Anybody? You got it. Exactly right. And you stayed up all night counting them, Daniel. Okay, but of those, how many verses? This is my favorite. It goes like this. Joseph is speaking, and he says, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for my good. We got a guy out there called Satan who's wanting to harm every single one of us, and he's doing a good job, too. But the good news is that while he throws those darts at us and while we put up the shield or sometimes don't put up the shield, the good news is that all bad things are not bad things. That's the first thing I want you to see this morning. Bad things, first of all, are not punishments from God as some suppose. Bad things are not punishments from God as some suppose. Read with me, if you will, Luke 13:4. Together. And those in Jerusalem. Good. Now who's speaking here? Jesus. And he's talking to the crowd. There was this great tower that fell. Josephus makes mention of the pool and also the tower. It fell, and how many people were killed? 18 people. And so Jesus, pretty shrewd guy, he says, now, of all those 18 people, do you think that they were the worst people in all of Jerusalem? And of course the answer is obviously no. When the Twin Towers fell, do you think that all the people there were the worst living in New York at that time? No. Which is to say that bad things are not punishments from God as some suppose. The bad things that happen to us do not come from God, but they come from Satan. And our speeder group that meets, if you mind this plug, at 2 o'clock every Tuesday at the church, are beginning a 12-week study in Job. Now, in the case of Job, he got it pretty bad, didn't he? Was it God who gave him the problems? No, of course not. Who was it? It was Satan. Scripture records that Satan and God had this conversation. And Scripture says that God gave Satan permission, what I want to say is that every single thing that occurs to you has to first pass through the hand of God. Bad things are not punishments from God, as some suppose. The three friends of Job, well, those guys lived under this conviction of suffering, that suffering was the result of sin, that God punished each act of sin with a corresponding penalty. So suffering, therefore, is necessary proof that the person suffering was guilty. But we must not believe that lie. One of the first things I do in the morning is turn my computer on. I subscribe to this free service. It's called Daily Manna from the Net. And this is what I read this morning. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Now God, I always say what I'm reading is for me that day, God. So this is the charge I got on my screen this morning. Preach the word. Well, if I'd gotten it yesterday, it wouldn't have been appropriate. If I got it tomorrow, it would not be appropriate. It's appropriate today because I'm preaching the word. But here it continues by saying, be prepared in season, hopefully, and out of season. Here's where it touches you. The scripture says, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So what I am saying to you this day may be for some, it may be rebuking in believing something that is not true, or it may be encouraging you, or it may be a correcting in some way. So the first thing we looked at is simply this. Bad things are not punishments from God, as some suppose. And the second thing is this. Both the good and the bad suffer. Would you say that? Both the good and the bad suffer. I guess the experience and the endurance of Job prove that suffering should include these points, for example. The innocent suffer in this life as well as the wicked. Agree? Suffering may be used as a means of demonstrating the faith of a Christian and strengthening the faith of that person, extending the influence of that person. And when it is faithfully endured, it does absolutely defeat Satan. Now, Job's faith was not insurance that he took out just in case something happened. It was what he had when that happened. That's why you have insurance today, be it fire insurance for your soul or your house. Both the good and the bad suffer. We just cannot get away from this. And you know, you can't see what I see, but I am looking at some people who are suffering. You are suffering. There is emotional suffering. There's mental suffering. There's physical suffering. There are all kind of things that go into our life that does make us suffer. But I'm here to tell you that you're not alone in your suffering. And what you cannot get away from is that God is going to be with you. Look at 1 Peter, if you would, 4:12. Read it to me, would you? Friends? Okay. How many of you slept 3 hours last night? 4 hours? 5 hours? Anybody got any hours of sleep? Do you know how long God slept last night? I couldn't hear all your answers, but the correct answer is, nothing. He did not sleep. The Bible says he doesn't sleep. I don't know how he gets around this, but he does not sleep. He doesn't have to sleep. He doesn't get tired. But here's the point. Wherever you're sitting in your life, God is with you 24/7. And what he wants to do is this. When you're suffering, he wants to come and sit down beside you. Because he is with you in your suffering. And this is where we miss it, people. We try to do it all of ourselves, as Pastor said at the 9 o'clock service. We can't do it ourselves. We've got to allow God to come and sit with us. So James, the brother of Jesus, says it like this. Read James 1:12 to me. So remember, God does not cause it. God does allow it. Point number three, and you know the important things are not what I say in between the points, but it's to remember these four points. And the third point is this. What is it? All bad things are not bad things. The guy that sat in the chair for 4 years in high school and 4 years of class in college and 3 years at the graduate school, what did he say when he had his accident? Why? I am that guy who stands before you. And I did ask why, but I don't ask why now, because wherever she is, my wife, Nancy, broke an engagement in Kansas City, Missouri, and she went to the graduate school. And had I graduated, I would have gone long gone before she got there. But you see, the accident was not bad. Oh, I was crippled up for a while. I couldn't do what I wanted to do for a while. But the point is, I can tell you today that all bad things are not bad things. To stretch that out just a little bit. Neil Carlson never dated any girl at the seminary. He went to Tulane and he went to Loyola and he never ate on the cafeteria. He would always go to the restaurants and the cafes. But the scuttlebutt around the seminary was in New Orleans. Neil Carlson's eating in the cafeteria? Yes, I was, because God brought the answer to my question of why. Paul knows that. He knew that. And he wrote Romans 8:28. If you don't know it, you can read it to me, would you? Romans 8:28. That's why. Trust me in that. Trust me in that. The guy that was painting a beautiful picture on the wall was just painting away, standing on a scaffolding, and his friend over there was watching him, and the friend saw that he was getting just a little too close to the edge, and so what his friend did, he took his paintbrush and he flicked it over at the guy, hitting his painting, which certainly made him want to say, why did you do that to me? But then he realized, had he taken 1 millimeter of a step over, he would have fallen, probably injured himself. So is that a good example of not all bad things are not bad things? The little piece of wood that gets whittled upon, oh, it hurts so bad, I don't want to be whittled upon. But then when he becomes a flute, and somebody holds that flute, who's the master of fluting, stands on a platform and plays, the little flute says, you know, it wasn't so bad after all. It did hurt for a while, but look what good came from that. You see, good does come, and that's why in Genesis 50:20, my favorite verse, which you can read with me, Genesis 50:20 again, don't you see? When are we ever going to learn this? When will we ever learn it, people? Let me illustrate. I know it's crazy. Does anybody have a piece of cloth here? Just a piece of cloth? Thank you. Thank you. You always carry extra cloth? Very good. Cool. Great. Okay. Now, our security is not very good in this place, Pastor. You can come in with a pair of scissors, possibly. Okay. Does anybody happen to have... Now, this is really... Anybody have a pair of scissors, by chance? Anybody? Oh, thank you so much. You have saved me. You saved me. Okay. Watch up, people. If Walt Disney can make a mouse talk, I can make this cloth talk. Ow. You say it. Pastor said mercy. Okay. But you understand what I'm trying to get at. Then with needle, then with thread, then with pattern, all put together by God, who has a perfect pattern for every single one of you, dear people. From this could come a blouse or a shirt. It's just so obvious that all bad things are not bad things. Which leads me to this, number four, there are blessings in suffering. There are blessings in suffering. Again, when will we ever learn this? But Paul tried to teach us this through Philippians 3:10, which says what? I, all that inferior stuff, so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. That's a translation from the Message, but if you like King Jimmy, read this one. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto his death. Now, this is a school that Jesus founded himself. He set up the curriculum, and he proved it possible to go through it. He proved it possible to endure it. He proved it was possible that you could graduate as an overcomer. And so making Jesus known, so very important through this. Scripture says, whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth. And again, surely suffering is not an indication of God's disfavor, but it's a proof that he does love you. So when life sends you misfortunes and distresses and problems and heartaches, Jesus says, what are you going to do with what I've given you by my allowing? What are you going to make out of it, for example? We got some beach guys here, and you know, God says, I have made a boundary between the earth and the sea, and I call it, anybody? Yes, and beaches have what on it? Okay, does anybody have a grain of sand? A grain of sand? Here. Bring me the sand. Great. Okay, a grain of sand. Actually, he brought me 6 grains, but that's about how many problems I have right now. Okay, some of you are way ahead of me already. I know, because I'm going to ask, does anybody have an oyster or something that looks like an oyster? Anybody, anywhere? I hope so. What, you always carry it? Okay, there we go. Cool. Okay, some of you who are already ahead of my notes, because they're probably reflecting in your brain right now, the grain of sand goes into the oyster, and if those represent my 6 problems that I'm going through with right now, some of you got 7, 8, and 9. Some of you don't have any. Praise God for you. But according to God, you will have one in the course of time. But when this oyster by the name of opened its mouth, we live, open our mouth to breathe, and a grain of sand came in. What did the oyster try to do with it? Spit it out. What happens when you get into these situations? What do you want to do? You want to spit it out. But you know what happens, don't you? Well, first of all, I guess we'll say, I'm going to put this down deep in the sea so I can talk some more. Okay, listen to some of these things that I see in some of you, because I do know some of you personally. Beside the misfortune, some distresses, some job situations, some relationships, not only just in the family but outside of the family, as well as problems on the job, school, and what have you, and sickness and pain and death and on and on it goes. These are the grains of sand that God's allowing you to experience. But if we go down deep in the sea and we bring up the oyster, what are we going to find in it? Very good. Beautiful. A beautiful pearl. Now, what God is asking for you, dear people, to do this week is when you get the sand that you want to get out of your life, quit fighting it. Or when you can't fight and get rid of it, but you may just have to hang on to it so it won't roll away. The Lord's blessed me to be pastoring 50 years. I had my first church when I was 19. And here are some things that I have learned through my congregation, through suffering. The first is this. The freshness, the spring of gratitude, a relationship to God. What's the second thing I learned? Somebody? Okay. The third thing I learned? Opening a compassion for God. Number 4, what did I learn? A good example of that, a friend of mine, very dear friend, had nothing to do with church, hated church. His wife was allowed to go, but he wasn't. Never entered the doors at all. Found himself quite ill. He needed some platelets, and I must have some great blood platelets. So I found myself in the laboratory at the hospital, stretched out on the table, giving him my platelets. And I could sort of visualize that, what was going to happen. I didn't know how it would happen. But the process was that from my blood supply into his blood supply, he was able to get well. And he found himself in church the very next Sunday out of the hospital. So that suffering that he went through certainly proved good for him, didn't it? The fifth thing I learned was what? And the sixth thing? The seventh thing? In fact, you're in the army right now. God's got an army of more than one. He's got this church here on this hill with a commander-in-chief, God, and the under-shepherd, lead pastor. And we are in this army. Yes, there are some deflectors. There's some grumblers. There's some people who don't want to read their Bible and pray and do all that is commanded in the Word of God. But for the most part, we got people like you who want to do something. And when you're going through your suffering, this is one thing that's going to happen. Training up, kingdom training, because you're in the army. And the last thing is this, most important, experiences with God. I cannot tell you what pain does except push you closer to God. Erase what I just said. That's not true. When you have pain, you can do one of two things. You can get closer to God, or you can get farther away from Him. It can make you bitter, or it can make you better. It's just up to you as to how you do it. So I guess the conclusion is this. It's found in Romans 8:18. Let's all read it together. I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy the glory that will be revealed in us. Paul put it so clearly. Didn't he put it good? Just perfect. I consider that the present sufferings. Now, if you read this last week, it was those sufferings. If you read it today, it's this sufferings. If you read it next week, it's going to be next week's suffering. So you see, the present word is very important, making God's word so relevant to us at all times. I just know, he says, that the present sufferings are not worthy to compare with the glory that will be revealed in us. So here it is. It's a self-check attitude that we all must go through right now. In and toward the issue, it's most important. Is it a plus or is it a minus? Is the suffering victory or defeat? Will you become an overcomer in it or defeated by it? Will you spiral down or will you be built up? And the interesting thing is, God will not do that for you, people. It's up to us because we are in the driver's seat. So what I want you to do as we bow and pray is to just consider letting God make a pearl out of your suffering. And the bottom line is this, just have faith in God, people. Have faith in God. He is on His throne. And in it all and through it all, we've learned to trust in Jesus. My question is, have you for your salvation? Have you for your present suffering? Let's pray, may we? Our Father, we do not like to go through many things that we go through. But this we know, you are going through it with us. And for that, we are eternally grateful. I pray, Lord, that as we find ourselves in situations that just make us say and ask this question, why? Why did this have to happen to me? It could be not just illness, but all the crud and stuff that happens to us that makes us say why. Let us just add a little to it, like, why not? Because in it and through it, I'll be made better, someone else will be made better, and as a result of that, the world will go on and on and on, being a better place. Through Jesus, amen.